The teacher is here, and he is asking for you. Sometimes we come to Mass and we don't have a lot of situational awareness. Sometimes we come to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, we witness baptisms. Perhaps we've witnessed 30 baptisms. We've been to confession a million times. We've been to Mass every Sunday of our life. And we still have not realized that every time a sacrament is communicated, it is performed by a Catholic priest, not in the third person, not in the second person. Sacraments always are carried out in the first person singular. I baptize you. I absolve you. This is my body, which is given for you. Because the ultimate priest who carries forth sacraments, who impacts change in the world, is not the instrument through which the eternal high priest works. It's not me doing it. It is the eternal high priest, the Messiah and Savior of every nation and people. And in the gospel today, Martha came to one of his closest friends, Mary, as she comes to each of us now, and she says, the teacher is here, and he is asking for you. The teacher is here. Not a teacher, the teacher. Do I live my life in a way that reflects that this man is the teacher of people? He is the Messiah and ruler of every nation. He is the eternal Logos who was there at the foundation of the world. He's not just an expert in faith and morals. He is an expert in faith and morals. But he is not just an expert in faith and morals. He is an expert in humanity, in what it is to be human. He is an expert in science, in math, in geography. He's the eternal word spoken from the mouth of the Father. Do I acknowledge that this man is not a teacher? He is the teacher. Do I live my life in a way that acknowledges this incredible truth that Martha proclaims? The teacher is here, and he is asking for you. Sometimes we are tempted to treat Jesus' voice as just one opinion in the sea of opinions. Ultimately, what matters is me, my thoughts, my needs, my desires. And as long as I see myself as a nice person, as long as I'm open-minded and accepting of everything and everyone, including the way of evil, as long as that happens, that's enough and I'll go to heaven. That's not what the teacher teaches. And so in my life, is he a teacher or is he the teacher? Do I prescribe the same attention to him as I do talking heads in the culture today? Do I give more attention to Fox News and CNN than I do to the gospel? Do I pay more attention to what's happening in free agency? Or do I pay attention to the one who has come to set people free? The teacher is here, not a teacher. The teacher is here. And he is asking for you. If we can be honest, brothers and sisters, who gets more of my attention every day? My financial planner, my doctor, or the teacher of every nation and people who has come to lead us into freedom? The teacher is here, and he is asking for you. Not a teacher, not an opinion. The teacher is here. He is here. The church that he started still exists to this day. And he has never once left her orphaned or abandoned. Every time a sacrament happens in my life, the teacher of every nation and people roars freedom and healing into creation anew. He is not a teacher, he is the teacher. And he's not just hanging out in heaven cheering us on from afar. He is here. Do I acknowledge the incredible beauty of the sacraments of the church? Do I recognize what is possible when I give this teacher permission to see me, to love me, and to roar his freedom and healing into my life? We just witnessed how powerful the teacher's voice is. It sets captives free, it gives sight to the blind, and it raises the dead. The teacher is here. He is in our midst. He is Emmanuel, God who is with his people. The first two readings that we just heard were prophecies that he was coming, that he would come to set his people free, to restore the house of Israel. He is here, and he is among us. Have we come today to praise him, to thank him, and to offer him the gift of our worship? Or have we come today to pay lip service to a meaningless ritual and go along living our lives unchanged? At the very beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, we're going to have an exchange. And it's been very much on my heart. I want to draw your attention to it. I named it last week. I'd like to name it again this week. We're going to have an exchange here as we enter into the celebration of the Eucharist today. And the priest is going to say, "The Lord be with you." And you're going to respond, "Very good. We're awake this morning with your spirit." And then the priest is going to ask you, "Lift up your hearts." And you will say, "Why do we lift up our hearts to the Lord? Because he is here and he is with us." Do you need to go to confession right after you say that you lift your heart up to the Lord because you didn't actually do it? Do we pay lip service to a meaningless ritual at the Mass, or have we come actually to lift up our hearts to the teacher of every nation and people? Have we come today to acknowledge our pain, our brokenness, our woundedness? Have we come today to acknowledge that we have fallen into a hole, the hole to hell, because of our sin that we cannot get us out of? He sees our pain. He sees our self-reliance and our pride. He sees our rebellion. He sees our complete indifference to his gospel and the way of life that he proposes. He sees us and he comes to be with us. The teacher is here and he has come to free, to heal, and to save. That will not happen in our lives, in our families, and in our culture if he is not the one that we worship. And so have we come today to worship him, to lift our hearts up to him? Or have we come today without really an awareness of what's happening before our eyes at his altar? And so we've come more or less kind of just to pay lip service so we can move along and keep living our life. When I say that I lift up my heart today, do I mean it? Or do I need to go to confession right afterwards because I didn't actually meant what I said? Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Because the teacher of Israel, the liberator, the healer, the one who comes to set his people free, the Messiah of every nation and people is here. He is here, and he is asking for you. Did I hear Martha speak this to me in the gospel? That the teacher is here, and he is most interested in me. He has come asking for you. Your mind, your heart, your rebellion, your anxiety, your fears, your wins, and your losses. Can I have those today? I know who you are. I made you. I know what your mind and your heart are searching for, and I've come to fill them. Can I be with you today? Can I be with you this week? I am asking for you. We are in the presence of greatness today. We have members of the RCIA here with us. The OCIA, if I'm being terminally correct, the name just changed in the church, the OCIA. We are in the presence of young men and women, brothers and sisters, who have been seeking this teacher, who have grown in their capacity to listen to him and to surrender more and more of their lives to him. Dare I say maybe that some of the people here at Mass with us today that have been most willing to listen to this teacher and who have been most willing to allow their lives to be uprooted by him are not even Christian yet. And yet they come seeking him to know his voice, to hear the power of his liberating and healing roar into their lives. Do I listen to this teacher? Do I acknowledge him? Do I carve out time every day of my life to pay attention to who he is, to what he is about, to how he speaks, and to what he says? Am I willing to allow my own life to be uprooted as my brothers and sisters who will soon enter the family of God at Easter are willing to do? The teacher is here, and he is asking for you. The greatest ways that this teacher is able to liberate and to heal and to free is through the sacraments of his church. And the teacher has come today and he asks for us, not just because he's impressed with us. He comes today not just because he loves us. The teacher is here and he asks for us because he can smell the stink of sin and the stink of death all the way from heaven. And that stench is on you and it's on me. The teacher is here and he asks for you because he has come to roar the Holy Spirit of life, of truth, of wisdom, of freedom, of healing into us. We will not live unless we receive the power of that roar. We will not live unless we allow ourselves to be liberated from the stench of sin and the stench of the consequence of sin, which is death. We just witnessed the power of this man's roar, the voice of the teacher, "Lazarus, come out," and the dead man walks out of his grave. This teacher has the same power in our life when he baptizes us. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And this teacher's liberating and healing voice is able to impact our life and to bring dead people back to life when we come to meet him in the sacrament of reconciliation. Sometimes we live in a way that says, I went to confession 40 years ago. I'm good. I'm basically a good person. That's not the voice of the teacher speaking. Sometimes we might live in a way that says, he could never forgive me for what I've done. You must not know this teacher, and you must not know what he has done, what he has come to do for you and for me. There are saints that have been raised up who were far worse people, who did far worse things than anyone here at church today. And they acknowledged that the teacher was there in their own time and space, and they went to him. Am I willing to let this teacher see me and love me and free me from the stench of sin and of death? Am I willing to let this teacher roar through his priest, I absolve you from your sins? This week, beginning tonight, and every night this week, somewhere in Johnson County, you have multiple opportunities to come to a priest who represents the teacher and to give the teacher permission to call you, to ask for you, and to free you from the stench of sin and the stench of death. The teacher is here this week, and he is asking for you. Will you give him the opportunity to see you, to love you, to free you, and to heal you by the power of his victorious love, his mercy that has conquered sin and that has destroyed death? Or will we continue to live in our own narrative, in our own minds, listening not to the voice of the teacher, but the voice of my own self-reliance? Listening not to the voice of the teacher, but the voice of anxiety and fear? Listening not to the voice of the teacher, but the voice of the accuser? You have no right to be forgiven. Listening not to the voice of the teacher, but the voice of the world? You don't need him. You don't need reconciliation. You're basically good. You'll go straight to heaven one day. Brothers and sisters, the teacher is here, and he is asking for you and for me.